Thank you so much for having me back. I really do appreciate it. It's no little deal. And I just worry a little bit because I don't want to waste your time. I really don't. I know I hate it when people waste my time. And I don't want to waste yours. So, Brother and Sister Sutton, thank you. Thank you, New Life, for the invitation to be here this weekend. I had a fantastic time. I really did. I enjoyed the retreat. I love working with couples. I love working with families. And I feel privileged that I get to do that. I really do. I feel honored that I get to work with people and hurting people and just people. I'm so thankful God called me to do that. I really am. I really had a lot of fun today with the single moms. Like I told you all before, my mom was a single mom, and I came to them from the perspective of a child raised with the single mom. And we just talked as women, trying to help each other out, give each other strength. And I loved it. I loved it. I really did love that. And I'm honored that you would even ask me to come. I'm not just saying that. You know how like preachers get up and they all say, thank you so much. I'm being serious. I'm being sincerely serious. The other day, my husband, I told you he is an aeronautical engineer. He also teaches for one of the biggest Baptist colleges, and it's California Baptist College in Riverside, California. And we went to a banquet, and this man got up, and he said this question, and it really struck me. And he said, what exactly is the will of God for my life? This man was he had been the president of Liberty University for something like 17 years. And he said, what exactly is God's will for my life? And I got to think about that because it's something, I don't know about you, but it's something that I've asked God myself. You know, don't you guys ask God, like, don't you sometimes wonder, what is it, God? What is your will for my life? I think that as I'm laying there thinking about this, I thought, you know what? I think, God, it's something that a lot of Christians ask themselves. Because I think there's a lot of pressure on us. We hear people preaching about the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. And I'm thinking to myself, because I sit on the pew like you, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, what is the will of God? What is the will of God for you? You know what? Because you see, there's a lot of pressure for us not to miss the will of God. And I got to wonder, I thought, God, is your will, it kind of feels like to me, like maybe God's will is this kind of bullseye thing that if we miss it, we're going to pay for the rest of our lives. Don't you feel like that? It's like, if I don't do your will and I get off of your will, I'm a goner. And I'm going to pay for it. It's like a bullseye. And I don't know where the bullseye is. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know where the bullseye is. Paul said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, I know in part, but then I'll know even as also I'm known. That's what he said. And what Paul is actually saying is, you see, there's times in our lives when we will not understand what's going on in our situation and what actions we should take. But that doesn't mean that God has taken his hands off of the steering wheel of our life. And I don't know about you, I was telling the sentence that I'm actually really an orderly person. I like my duckies in a row. I literally make my list to do the day before, and I check them off as I go through the day. I'm actually very disciplined, believe it or not. And part of that is because I have to be, because I'm a little ADHD. And so my husband hates to take me somewhere like Disneyland or the mall, or it scares him to death. He tells me he's going to put one of those child things on me and just hold me by the chain, just because I kind of wander off. And I told Sister Sutton, we're driving over here, and I said, you and I don't do good together, because she told me I get lost easy. And I said, well, don't count on me to get us to the hotel, because I'll never get us there. I need God. I want God. I'm being serious. I want him to get in my boat and let me sit in the back, and I just want him to steer. You know what I mean? And to be honest, I don't want to steer. I just want to follow. But you see, God's slowly showing me that our perspective on the bigger picture is limited, and mine certainly is. It's as if we're on a highway of life, and we have to trust God even if I'm going in the right direction. Well, this doesn't work for my personality so well, because I like my duckies in a row. I told Brother Sutton the last time he told me to come, and he said, I want you to speak. And I told him, I said, well, what do you want me to speak about? And he said, whatever the Lord put on your heart. And I just looked at him, because I like my duckies in a row, and I want to sit in the boat, and I want him to take the wheel, and I want him just to drive. I want him to tell me what to do. I want to know God's will. So what did I do as a professional, respectable woman? I went in the bathroom and I cried my eyes out. I did. I was like this in the bathroom. And then someone came in, a friend of mine, thank God, because I had totally lost it. You know how us women are, you know? It's like you don't want to cry, especially, you know? And I'm bawling in the bathroom. And she said, what's wrong, Beth? I said, Brother Sutton wants me to come to the church. And he wants me to talk on Sunday morning. And you know what? I go to churches and talk on Sunday morning. It's that Sunday night thing that scared me. You know? It's like, I think it's supposed to be you know, people are supposed to be like running. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I said, and Brother Sutton won't tell me what to talk about. And she says, what did he tell you? I said, he said for me to ask the Lord. And she said, well, I know how that feels. It's really scary. I mean, like, ask the Lord, you know? Like, what if he doesn't talk? I'm a woman. I used to go around and joke, if I ever get to talk on the platform, I'm going to preach my first message, and it's going to be on men's standards. Yeah, well, needless to say, that's not what the Lord wanted me to talk about. Even though I could write a whole list up, you know. Wear brown pants, you know. I mean, you know, all kinds of fun stuff, you know. I wish God would make everything clear to me. I really do. But you know what he told me the other day? He says, Beth, if I made everything clear to you, you wouldn't walk in faith. And I said, that's okay with me. It's okay with me. Have you ever prayed that God would just tell you what his will was about something? Me too, all the time. I do all the time. You know, like, God, what's going on with this property? Like this property here, you know? Do you want us to build the other property, or did you want to give us the Church of Christ property? I mean, you know, you just don't know those things. And so you're making all kinds of plans, and he says, wait, folks, I got something else for you. It's a whole lot better than what you think. There's like tons of rooms, and I'm waiting, and they're ready for you. You know? It's God's way. But we don't know that because he doesn't tell us. You know? I wish there was a screen that said, hi, I'm the Lord. You know, and then we could all just take notes. But you know what I found out? Now listen, this is just a woman talking, and he won't even tell me what to talk about, so I'm just going to tell you what's on my heart. What I found is mostly that God makes me make the decisions. That's dangerous, folks. You know? Matter of fact, I've learned, you know that scripture that says God will give you desires of your heart, right? Whenever I hear someone say that God will give you the desires of your heart, I'm thinking, are you crazy? Don't give me the desires of my heart. God, give me the desires of your heart. Because the desires of my heart, we're going to be in trouble. I mean, serious. I know you guys are all perfect, but I'm not. I'm just an old Mexican lady, you know? And my husband's not here, so no telling you what I'm going to say. Last time I talked in Memphis and he was there, he says, Beth, you shouldn't have said that. And I said, what? And he told me. And I said, oh, honey, they just know I'm an old lady. It's okay. Wouldn't it be great, though, I thought the other day when I was in a Chinese restaurant, if I could just crack open a fortune cookie. And it said, hello, this is God. It's a go on that property. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be easy? But you know, it doesn't happen like that. I don't know why. It doesn't happen like that. And you know what? I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I pray. Sometimes I fast. I hate to fast. I'm just going to be honest. If you like to fast, something is wrong with you. I'm just going to be honest. I like food. And even the thought of waking up in the morning and having a fast for that day, there's things like boiled eggs that I don't even like, and all of a sudden they become appetizing. You know what I mean? Isn't that crazy? Like you're fasting, and then all of a sudden you have these cravings for stuff. Pickles and liver. I mean, who likes liver? But when you're fasting, you're ready to eat anything. I just thought I'd tell you that. So that you know I don't like fasting. God help us all. Well, it doesn't happen like that. We pray and we fast, and still, he does not put our notes on the screen to tell us what to do. I'm not doubting God. I know God has a plan for our lives. I know that. Even if it's not evident to me what it is. I don't know about you guys, but do you know the plans for your life? Because if you do and you figured it out, please tell me so I can do it too. I really do believe, though, and I have to trust, and this is my thing. This is my thing lately. I'm learning. Can you believe in 30 years of living to God, I'm learning how to trust him? 30 years. And I'm just learning how to trust God. I know God's looking out for my best interests. And I know that a lot of times he makes me make the decision. But I'm going to be honest, I don't know if I'm looking out for my best interests. And I make mistakes just like you make mistakes. We're human. Which is why I want to know. God, I want to know. I want God to take my hand. I want God to take my mouth. I want him to take my feet. I want him to take my brain. I want him to take control. And I want him to make me do the right things. I want to do God's will. But the truth is, he's not making me do nothing. I struggle with that. I really do. He ain't gonna make us do nothing. He's not gonna do it for me. He's not gonna do it for you. He's not gonna do it for Brother and Sister Sutton. Every single day we battle. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're gonna admit that it's been a way of life for us Christians. You know, I'm my worst enemy. The battle's always been between me and God. My will and His. It may not be like that with you, but it sure is like that with me. So what's the secret? I'm asking you, Jesus, what's the secret? I think I might have learned something as I kind of walk through this journey, and I want to share it with you. I think I've learned that knowing the will of God, I don't think it's something that we find. He's teaching me this. I don't think the will of God is something that we find. I don't think knowing it. I think knowing the will of God is something that we become. At least that's the impression I'm getting. I'm going to say it again, because you got to get it. I don't think knowing the will of God is something that you find. But I think it's something that you become. The will of God is more about who you are than where you are or what you do. I'm just learning that. Let me explain. Not surprising, a lot of people looked at Paul. He was kind of the unlikely person to preach the gospel of Christ. You know, I mean, he was the one that was killing all the Christians. Not the person I would have chose. I'm just going to be honest. We have this, like, real, especially me, I've got this real limited and finite mind. And sometimes when I watch God do stuff, it don't make no sense to me. But the truth is what I've learned is that God is always at work in our life. Paul was born for a reason. And there was not one experience in his life that was wasted. Just like there's not one experience in your life that is wasted. God don't waste those things. When you look at Paul in his life, he really was the best candidate for the job. God wasn't so interested in where Paul was. He wasn't interested in what he was doing for the moment. God was interested in who Paul was. Who he was. Just like God is interested in who you are and who I am. Paul was the perfect person to be the missionary to the Roman Empire. He had elite status. He was trained in Judaism. He was respected, and he was a committed Jew. He was educated by the best men of the time. And they say he probably came from a wealthy family, which means he was well-traveled. Who better to pick? What better person could have been chosen at that time? Paul wasn't trying to find God's will for his life. He was just being who God had created him to be. That's what God's done with me. That's what he's done with you. It's who God created you to be. And then God caught up with him. He was just doing life. We're born in the family. We're born into it for a reason. We're raised with the kind of experience that we have, and what you do for a reason. It's never a waste because, you see, God will use it all. And he's going to fulfill, if you will let him, he's going to fulfill his mission through you. But you got to let him. Because I really believe with all my heart, and it seems to make it clearer to me every single day, that we all have a mission. Every single one of us. Women, children, men, we all have a mission. God loves diversity, and it's evident in this room, which is why he makes all of us different. I love those personality tests that we take, because it's fascinating to me that we're all so different. And God puts us all together, but he does it for a reason. Because your personality, he uses. There's nothing wrong with your personality. I had a woman come to me and she said, it was a revelation for me and my husband. You know, it doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. We used to think it was a problem. You had to be one way or the other, and it was the best way. And we learned that it's not the best way. It doesn't matter. God made you an introvert for a reason. Just like he makes you an extrovert for a reason. And just like he made me a woman for a reason. We all have different talents. We all have different abilities. We speak and we look different. Even to the point of being a different color. I love that. I really do. God made you to be you, and he made me to be me, and he made it for a reason. It was not a mistake. And so we shouldn't try and think that we want to be something else. Do you know what I mean? Just be you, because God made you that way. 1 Corinthians 7 and 20 says this, and I'm going to read it from the NASB, and it says, each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. And in verse 17, it says, Paul says, only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner, let him walk. Okay, as God has called each in this manner, let him walk. What Paul is saying is that God has assigned you to a place where you are. He makes you and wants to use you where you are now. Right now. Well, I think it's a good idea that we all pray, obviously, because God tells us to pray. And we continue in God's will. Sometimes we even fast and we ask God for a sign. I also think it's important for us to realize that God often wants us to walk in faith. You know? Sometimes we need to quit trying to get out of walking in faith, which is what I want to do. It's like, just let my pastor ride the boat. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. That's easy. You know? But when the pastor says, well, pray and do what God tells you to do, okay, well, that's not so clear. Help me, pastor, to pray about this new job, whether I should take it or not. Really, what we're saying is, can you tell me what God tells you and just tell me what to do? That's what we're saying, because really God listens to us as much as he listens to him. We got the same power. I'm going to be honest. And really, we're just asking him to tell us what to do. We need to quit asking God for a sign. He's told me that. And at first, I didn't understand. Because I used to, when I was first to become a Christian, I would ask him. I do the same thing, you know. I read it in the Bible, and it says, you know what, this is crazy stuff, but it was true, and I was just ignorant. And I still am, to a certain extent. But I put a little, like, paper towel there, and I said, God, if you want me to do that, make that wet. in the morning. And I'd go to sleep, and I'd wait, and I'd feel it, and it was still dry. Well, it didn't dawn on me that maybe God didn't want me to do it. And then I said, I'll give you another chance. So the next day I'm waiting. Okay, God, I'm going to give you another chance. If you want me to do that, make that wet. And I wake up the next morning and it's still dry. And I said, well, God, I guess you don't want me to do that. I mean, let's be real. I don't know how you were when you first came to God. But I did silly stuff like that, you know? Like light candles and see if I could feel the Holy Ghost. Do you know? Like you heard about the blue Shekinah glory. I was creating it myself. You know, the smoke. I wanted to know God and His will so bad. I just wanted God to talk to me. And I still want Him to talk to me. But you know what I learned? I'm just being a woman. I'm being honest with you. I learned that sometimes we over-spiritualize things. And you know what else I've learned? Sometimes I make excuses for not doing something I know is right. Because I'm waiting on God to give me the answer. I went to a church the other day, and this one young man was telling me, he said, God had worked it all out where he could give this Bible study. These people had come to him at this apartment complex, and they wanted to know if he could give a Bible study. And he was praying and waiting on God to tell him when. I'm sorry, but the village idiot can figure this one out. Don't you think God wants you to do it now? I mean, like, He opened up all the doors, do you know? And then I was talking to somebody else at the same church, and they said they wanted to give a Bible study too, but they had been praying that God would open up the door and help them and show them whether they wanted them to give this Bible study. I don't know about you, and it could be that I'm just dumb, but I think God would want you to give a Bible study. I don't think you need to ask Him permission. God, do you want me to share your word? Yeah. Sometimes I make excuses for not doing something because I'm waiting on God to give me an answer. God really does give us the ability to make choices and the information we need to make good ones. I'm sorry, but some people think that waiting on God is grounded in faith. I don't know, I might be wrong. But I think it often comes out that we're actually afraid to make a move. And so we want God to give us proof after proof after proof after proof. I think it's not based on faith. I think it's based on fear. So rather than swimming ahead, we just get happy treading water. Every single season of life is important, and every daily encounter with people and what we do at work, and it's all important. God's given us this wonderful book called the Bible. We all have no excuse for reading it, because now you can even listen to it on your phone. You can have 50 versions. There's no excuse. You know? It's everywhere we look. So it's not like, you know, in some countries where they have to all fight for a page because there's one Bible for an entire church. Really, we have no excuse. God's given us this book, and it's filled with all kinds of advice. I really think that often the will of God is more about following the next step than it is about waiting for God to send a sign. I'm going to be honest. It's being the person that God would have you be in whatever situation he has you right in this moment, just like the situation he has me in this moment. Sometimes I just wonder if we're saying that we're waiting in God when actually God's waiting on us. I'm being real. I really believe that God wants us to start taking life more seriously and start taking advantage of the opportunities that he has already given us. Instead of sitting back and waiting on opportunities, we have a list of opportunities. How much talent is in this place? It's mind-boggling. Come on, I'm being real. How much talent is in this place? And we're waiting on God. I don't know. I think we need to stop waiting for the next new thing. I think we need to start living our current season to the fullest. Are you living to the fullest? I'm sorry, but this is something I'm learning. I'm just telling you what God's showing me. This is where I'm at. I'm learning that courage is not about knowing the path. Kind of crazy, huh? 53 years old, and I'm just learning that courage is not about knowing the path. It's about taking the first step. It's about Peter getting out of the boat and stepping out on the water in complete faith. Just because he knows Jesus ain't going to make you drown. And I have to say that to myself when I have situations that I'm not comfortable in. Kind of like tonight. I love it when you guys are all jumping around dancing. And I'm thinking about what I'm going to talk about and go, God, they're going to stop jumping around. You know? I'm even feeling depressed. But I'm being real with you. Because it's time now to quit idling. It is time for us to put our pedal to the metal. And it's time for us to go. Because not going means we're stagnant. And I'm going to tell you, I only got so many more nickels to spend. And I'm not going to be stagnant. Unless God wants me to be stagnant. And I'm going to be honest, I don't got to pray and fast about that one. Thank God, because I don't want to fast about that. He don't want me to be stagnant. God's will isn't something you find to live later. I'm learning that. It's not that bullseye that I've been searching for 30 years. It's something that begins now. His will begins right now. And the only sign he's going to give us is the breath that we're breathing. And when God says to stop, he'll stop you. You just keep going. Paul didn't wait for God to show him where to go and who to witness to. He went and witnessed until God stopped him. A lot of people have a misunderstanding about God's will. I did. God's will is more about going till he stops you than waiting till he starts you. I learned that. God's will is more about going till he stops you than waiting until he starts you. Our job is to do our best, and his job is to keep us on track. And I'm telling you, God will. I think I told you guys this the last time, but a couple years ago, I was at a women's conference at a church, and I was doing this women's conference. I really liked that church. And to be honest, I kind of wanted to go there. And I was really thinking about it, and I'm praying about it. God, you want me to go to that church? I'm open. Let's be honest. I live in a really rough area. Not my home, But where the church is at, it's full of graffiti and drugs and alcohol, and it's like drug capital of the world. And I'm 53 years old, and I'm going to be honest, I kind of like to live somewhere where there's trees. And everywhere I turn, there's not graffiti. You know? I'm clueless. I walked outside in Mississippi the other day. I said, "What's that noise?" They said, "Beth, those are crickets." I said, "That's crickets?" And I said, "Ask me about gangs and I can answer that." Ask me about crickets and I'm clueless. And I kind of like to live my like last days somewhere that's pretty. So I was at this church. And I was praying about going there. And it was feeling good. And I did this woman's conference. And all these people came to the altar. And they're praying. And the Holy Ghost is moving. And I'm so happy and everything. And I'm saying, "God, I love this." And this little girl at the end of the service, when everyone's finishing crying and all that, comes up to me and kind of yanks on me. She's about 6 or 7 years old. And she comes up to me and she says, "Do you go to this church?" And I looked at her, cute little girl with dark hair, like in little ringlets. And I said, "No." And I'm thinking to myself, "But I'd sure like to." That's what I was thinking. And then she looked up at me and with this really deep voice, like authoritative, you know, like of real authority. And she said, "You don't leave your church until God tells you." I'm not joking. I am not joking. And that's exactly how she said it. "You don't leave your church until God tells you." I tell you, the hairs on the back of my neck went up. They really did, because nobody knew that. Nobody. I didn't even tell my husband any of this. And this happened. I told you that because God's will is more about going till he stops you than waiting till he starts you. And when he wants you to stop, he will tell you. And it might be a 6-year-old girl that comes up to you and tells you, "Go back home where you belong." And I did, and I went home and I told my pastor. And he said, "Wow, wow." I told him, I said, "You're stuck with me whether you like it or not." I can promise you, God will intervene. So you just get it in gear. I can also promise you that it'll take more faith to move forward in our lives and make logical steps than it does to follow a pillar of fire in the right direction. He showed me that the other day as I'm reading. I don't know why I thought that was so magnificent. Well, it kind of is, you know, how, you know, they wake up. I could just see it, you know, like everyone's waking up and there's the fire and all, you know, all you have to do, there's the car, and you just follow it. And I thought, oh, how cool, you know, that you're just kind of following and God's telling me. And I'm telling God, that's what I want you to do to me. Just tell me where to go and what to do and what to say and, you know, do this fire thing or whatever you got to do. Now, that don't take a lot of faith, Beth. Matter of fact, it don't take no faith at all. Faith is only necessary when we don't know exactly where we're going. And we have to hold on to the belief that God is walking by our side. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't know if he's walking by my side. And I just got to get up and I got to do it. But I've learned that too many people live, they're crippled, and their life is so crippled because of undecisiveness. Yep, I think we should pray about it. And if God doesn't answer, then you need to make a choice. And whatever choice you make, and this is what I say to myself, Beth, whatever choice you make, if God doesn't tell you directly, make it a good one. Just make that choice a good one. I'm telling you that the who that God wants you to be, as far as a person that is full of faith, a person that trusts God, the who that God wants you to be is not contingent on anything that goes around in your life. It's not contingent on your job. It's not contingent on where you live. If you work on, and this is where God's bringing me, if I work on the who I am, much of where we are and what we're doing takes care of itself. I quit a great job. I used to work for the schools. I was a teacher. And then I became a psychologist in the schools. I loved my job. They loved me. Then in came a supervisor that didn't love me. And part of the reason she didn't love me was because people loved me. And you know how women can kind of be jealous? You know how women are? You guys know how women are. And I prayed, God, what do you want me to do? She was making my life miserable. But I had a great job. And I prayed and I said, God, I hate it, but I'm going to resign. And I'm going to start a practice. Well, to be honest, I'm an extrovert. You know? I loved being in the schools because I was surrounded with people all the time. And that plugged my engine in. I loved it. The thought of going into a private practice scared me. One, what if nobody wants to pay me to talk to them? You know? Okay, that was one. Two, I'm going to be lonely because I'm going to be by myself. But I felt I needed to resign, and so I took the step. The next day, Brother Nathaniel Wilson calls me, and he says, Beth, will you teach for us? Okay, I never even applied. And I said, okay, yeah, sure, because I don't got nothing else going on right now. I just resigned. And then I said, okay, God, you want me to start a private practice? I'm going to start a private practice. I don't have anybody. I drove up and down the streets and I prayed, God, show me where you want my office. And then I felt like, okay, well, maybe that's where I need to go. And I went in there and I got a really nice office. It's really expensive in California. And so I sat in my office for my first week at my desk, looking at the phone. I don't have one client. I'm saying, God, I need you. I got to pay for this. And I don't got one client. And then I didn't know nothing. And they said, you know what? You'll never get on the insurance boards because it's really hard. And matter of fact, I was told, I said, you will never make good on a practice because it's really hard for psychologists to have a private practice. So usually you have to do all kinds of things. And so I'm thinking about all that. I am not joking. I only sat there for the first day. The second day, my phone started ringing. I didn't even advertise. I have no clue where these people found me. But they did. And then they started rolling in. And then I said, God, if you want me to be on these insurance boards, I'm going to apply. And they said I'm not going to get any of them. But if you want it, it'll happen. And I did. And I got on every single one of them. Blue Shield, Blue Cross, TRICARE, Aetna. And the clients start pouring in. And then, I'm going to be honest, I said, God, I need to make this much money. And so, I'm not saying this, it's just because I'm trying, you know, like we walk on faith, right? And, you know, I need money. I got to pay for this place. I got to show my husband because I got to pay for my school loans. And so I said, God, I don't have a lot coming in. But you know what? I'm going to pay this much amount because this is the amount I need to make every month. And I'm not making that. And so I'm going to pay this amount. All right. So I pay that amount in my tithes. And that month, I meet that amount. Well, I start noticing a pattern. I'm dumb. So I really start noticing. I go, oh, wow. You know what, God? My books came out, and you made me almost exactly what I paid tithes for. Well, I think I'll up that a little more. Because, God, I really want to make this amount. And so I give a little more. And the next month, I made that amount. Now, we're talking about faith. And I'll be honest, I didn't have a lot of faith. So it wasn't like I was giving 100 more. You know, oh, God, I'm making this much, so I'm going to give you 100 more in tithes. No, it was like 25 more bucks. 50 more bucks, you know. But as we're going through it, I'm noticing that he's meeting the needs. And so then I said, well, God, to be honest, I really want to make this. I really got into it, you know, because this really works. This is a good business plan. This is the best 401 I've ever invested in. And so I said, God, this is how much I want to make for the year. And I'm going to pay every month that amount. I'm a saint just like you. You know, nobody pays me in our church. So I said, I'm going to pay this amount. Because this is the amount, and I'm going to pay this amount every single month until I make that much for that year. God could have said no, but he's probably humoring me. And I did. That next month, I made that amount. And it keeps on going. Is that not amazing? You know what? I'm telling you the truth. This is my getting out of the boat and walking on the water, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that God loves me so much, he ain't going to make me sink. And he does it every single time. Proverbs 3:6 says this, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It's beautiful, and I love it. I want to paraphrase it for you. Just work on becoming the person that God wants you to be. And God will take care of the rest. I'm telling you, he really will take care of the rest. He's going to guide you. The gospel message was never meant to be lived and kept safe inside of this building. It's not even about this building. It's a beautiful building. It's a miracle. Thank you, Jesus, for it. But this is not about this building. This isn't not about Brother and Sister Sutton. Mm-mm. We don't go to church. We are the church. Our faith, our Christian walk as women and men and children was meant to be lived out at home and at work. The gospel was meant to affect all of you, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. It's Jesus, change me. Make me what, you know that kid's song? Make me what, how does it, make me what I ought to be. And I'm still singing that. God, make me more like thee. I love it. It was meant to be lived out. God meant for us to work together. Remember we said with him? And really, folks, we got to get out of the wilderness. We got to get out of the wilderness. It was never God's will. Our life isn't about wandering around and waiting on God to make decisions. Our life is not about God showing us steps to make. God and our prayers are not a vending machine. I pray something and it pops out my prayer, my candy bar. And I'm learning and I'm still learning that God's will isn't hard to find. Because you see, God has given us a heart that desires what he desires. It's beautiful. And therefore, our decisions will line up with God's plan. We're often, though, so intent on looking for some hidden plan that God's laid out for us. and we forget to consult the passions and desires he's already given us. So, how many of you will do this week? We know without a shadow of doubt, we don't have to fast about this, so praise God for that. That God wants you to speak to somebody today that doesn't know him. How many of you know that? That God wants you to speak this week to somebody that doesn't know him. Okay, so we know that. How many of you will do it? Do we really need God to tell us that? How many of you will talk to somebody this week that doesn't know Jesus and invite them to church? It should be all of us, because we know that's God's will. How many of you will work really hard to pray every single day? The Bible says pray without ceasing. For me, that means like if I see an ambulance go by, I'm praying for that person. I'm praying for the firemen. I'm praying. I'm just praying. I'm talking to God. Sometimes I talk out loud at the grocery store and I think, oh, Beth, people are going to think you're weird. You know what? It's time to stop looking for that bullseye, and it's time to just do. We just need to do. And if you're in the wrong direction, I pray God sends that little six-year-old girl to tell you to stop, just like she did me. Let's all stand. Musicians. I was just trying to clarify a few things for us, because it's really time that we stop waiting. It's time for us to do. It's time for us to do everything that we're supposed to be doing. We only got so many nickels. What do you say we all come together and we bind together? And we recommit ourselves to doing what God wants us to do now. Give a Bible study this week now. You might be surprised. A person might just be waiting for you to ask. I know I was. Just ask. When I came to God, my friend called me up and she said, Beth, you need to come to church, because if you don't, you're going to hell. And I thought to myself, that's rude. But you know what? It kind of joggled something in my head and in my heart. And when she says, you need to come, I thought, she's right. I do need to come. I really want to live for God. 30 years later, I still want to live for God. You want to live for God? What do you say we give it all to him? And we start now. Brother Sutton.
All of you is what I need. Show me your glory. Show me.
Let's just gather. Let's talk to him. Focus on who he wants you to be, not where he wants you to go. Focus on becoming. Will of God is to do what God wants you to do today. Be what God wants you to be today. Don't wait another moment. You already know what to do. You already know what to be. Become that today. Come on down close. Make room for those behind you. Body, mind, body,
love me. Hallelujah. Lord, I feel the Lord.
power.